Mark chapter 5, continuing on the message this morning, Jesus the Great Physician and other physicians. So let's read another account in Mark 5 of what we had in Luke 5 this morning. Mark 5, verse 25. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, having heard the things concerning Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. Just that much, because notice this woman, she had spent all that she had on physicians and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, suffered many things of many physicians. And now John 9, verse 1. And as he, our Savior, passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Colossians 4. Verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas salute you. Now let's look at Genesis 50. Verse 1. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. And one other in Job chapter 13. Verse 1, lo, mine eye hath seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What you know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you are forgers of lies. You are all physicians of no value. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that all that is absolutely essential for life and godliness, all the literature that is compulsory for us to have, is held in our hands this night. We thank you for all the other things that men have written. We remember Paul spoke about the books and the parchments. But our Father, what book is like your book? And we're thankful for all the excellent training that we can receive from it. We remember what the psalmist says, I'm wiser than all my teachers because thy word is my meditation. We are thankful, our God, that the entrance of thy word giveth light and it giveth wisdom, and how much of it we've read this night. So we desire to learn some more about our Savior, the great physician, and other physicians, incompetent physicians. So our Father, bless our hearts this night. Instruct us. Let us know about those physicians to whom we should go and those physicians whom we should avoid. We thank you for the blessings of the day, the fellowship of the people of God, being in the presence of thy Son, remembering him. We know in a little measure about what the psalmist said, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. We are so thankful that that is the attitude of our heart, that we are not here of compulsion, our God, but it is our desire. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And we are glad for the gathering together of thy saints. So this night, we pray that you shall feed us from the scriptures again. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive us as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. What I told you mostly this morning was the competency and the incomparableness of Jesus Christ, our physician. But I read to you from other portions, and we find that there was not only the Lord Jesus, the competent physician, but there were incompetent physicians as well. And both of them were working upon the bodies and the souls of men. What is so sad is this. If I speak of an incompetent physician, would you think I was talking about one of the 12 apostles, or several, say 9 of the 12 apostles? You say, how could that be? Because there are physicians not only for the body, but there are the physicians that are to work upon the soul. There are physicians that are to diagnose the cause of the troubles in your life. And that diagnosis must be a correct diagnosis. And I read to you from the Old Testament and the New Testament how those that were Job's friends were physicians of no value. And I read to you also how as diagnosticians the apostles were of no value. Why? Listen. If professional men look at a patient and examine him and then speak to one another, when they do speak, they are to speak with authority, with finality. And that is the way that the apostles spoke when they looked at that man that was born blind. Now, listen to the diagnosis of incompetent physicians. They said to the Savior, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? You've heard their diagnosis. They looked at him. They said, yes, he's blind. He is blind either because he sinned or his parents sinned. And the Lord Jesus answered them and said, neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God might be wrought, manifested in him. Do you understand now? Here are the apostles looking upon a man that is in a pitiful condition, and they are diagnosing his condition as because of either, well, it may be his parents, but then again, it may be his own sin. But there was no other diagnosis than this. It is sin And so they, the apostles, like Job's friends, were physicians of no value. They were incompetent physicians. And so for that reason, if we hear of physicians like unto those that had treated this woman with an issue of blood, and we shake our heads, and we say, God, deliver us from falling into the hands of such physicians. Well, in like manner, there are people, if you seek help and advice, they're going to give you advice. And when they do that, they are acting in the part of Job's friends and the apostles. They are giving you a diagnosis of why you are in the spiritual condition that you are. And sad to say, many of the people of God as physicians are failures. They are incompetent. They are physicians of no value. Now, it's all right in some instances, but in other instances, it can be tragic. One, and we can laugh at this, because the sister who has done so many good works serving the Lord confessed this on herself. She went to the hospital visiting sick women, and she came to one woman and she said to her, she said, where are you hurting? She said, I'm hurting in my stomach. And she said, may I pray for you? And the woman said, yes. And so in her prayer she said, oh Lord, deliver this woman from the unclean spirit that is in her stomach. And when she got through, the woman said, you are out of your mind. She said, I am in here to have my appendix removed. Now, we can laugh at that. But there are some that look upon an individual that is sick, and they say, you are demon-possessed. It is evil spirits. These are the cause of your trouble. And they are just as incorrect as that woman was and as the disciples were when they looked at that blind man and said, sin. Was it his sin or was it his parents' sin? And because of that, I'm going to teach you how to give a correct diagnosis when you are to function as a physician. I will teach you by the example of our Savior. At times, it is sin that causes a man or a woman to be in such and such a condition. At other times, it's not that at all. I will give you instances at first when you give a diagnosis of sin as being the cause of the woman in her suffering, the man in his suffering, the pressures of life. Why? And this is what the Lord Jesus said. In his grace, unsolicited, he went to the impotent man in John chapter 5, and he said to him, wilt thou be made whole? And the man said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in, but one steppeth in before me. And the Lord Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Healed him immediately. Later, the man able to go about, and let this be an exhortation to you, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. Now that this man has strength, it says that Jesus found him in the temple. Is that not a beautiful thought? Here is a man, and he is by the waters waiting for them to be troubled that he might be healed. But when he is healed, he is in the temple of God. That is gratitude. That is where he should be. But listen to what the Savior said. He did not tell us why that man was suffering in the first place. But when he saw him the second time, he did. He said to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing befall you. The Savior knew why that man had been suffering for 38 years. He said, it is your sin. And he said, even though in my mercy I have freed you, he said, sin no more, lest a worse thing befall you. Is that plain enough? But I would think that once Jesus had done something for me, he would let no evil come upon me again. Not only will he let evil come upon you again, he said, lest a worse thing befall you. But what happens is what happens to many Christians. They are in a great strait, and God in his mercy delivers them. And they say, thank you, Lord. And now that they are taken out of that great strait, they go and sin again and get into another one. I've told you in advance, this disease that is caused by sin, even if you've been delivered of it, if you sin again, something worse could happen to you. Now, I'm not able to go to a hospital like this woman did and say, why, you have an unclean spirit in you, and I'm going to pray that that unclean spirit come out. But I can tell you this, that there are different kinds of sicknesses, and there are different degrees of sicknesses. And concerning the Lord's Supper, this is what it says. Because of their persistent sin, a sin that they continually engaged in, the Apostle Paul said, because of this, many of you are weak, many of you are sickly, and some of you sleep. Will you remember that? You say, that is the reason I do not go to the Lord's Supper. Do you not understand that it's a sin when you forsake the assembling of yourselves together? The only solution is to get sin out of your life and to reverently, in a clean condition of soul, go and remember your Savior. And so there are many Christians today, not sick to a degree that they are hospitalized, but they are weak and they are sickly. And some of them, if they persist in sin and they will not repent, the Apostle Paul said, they've fallen asleep. And that is the mercy of God. Why? He said that you might not be condemned with the world. Let me ask you this. In your right mind, the Bible says, and now little children, abide in him, that when he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you knew that you were going to be taken in a great sin when the Lord Jesus was coming, would you rather live until he came and be caught in that sin? Or would you rather have God in his mercy take you away now? In your right mind, you would say, now. Why, of course. And this is why the Savior is warning, and this is why that portion that we read that thrills our souls, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and blessed. But then in that portion it says, because you're observing this Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, many of you are weak and sickly, and some of you sleep. That is Paul's diagnosis. And he said, understand that what I am telling you is of the Lord. And so it is not that you are not going on for God, but you're going on for God in a hypocritical condition, in a sinful condition. And you are wanting all the privileges that go along with being a child of God. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's what you're expecting. But you find out that God is not going to let you continue in sin with impunity. The judgment of God, to a lesser or greater degree, will fall upon you. And that is why, when someone sins that professes to be a Christian, if nothing happens, life keeps treating them in a way that enriches them, gives them pleasure, progress, and they're living in sin and they profess to be a child of God, I say, well, that man isn't a Christian at all. That is my diagnosis. Because it says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so learn how to diagnose why a man, a woman is sick. I've given you two examples. Now, in John chapter 9, we listen to the rest of the portion of which I read you a small part. Lord, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And the Lord Jesus said, neither did this man sin nor his parents. That's all I read you. But notice, he said, but that the works of God might be wrought in him. Think of the consolation to that man who had been born blind. Because I have no doubt that that man in his blindness had thought through his life, wondering if there had been something that he had done, that his parents had done, that had brought this great burden, this affliction into his life. For all these years since he was born, he had been born blind, and then he learned from the Lord Jesus that you were not in this condition because of what your parents did or of what you did, but this is the day that God wants to manifest his works in you. And so he anointed his eyes and sent him to the pool of Siloam, and he washed, and he came seeing. Now, do you understand what the Lord is trying to get you to accept? That some of you are born blind with afflictions, and it may be that late in life, and I'm thinking of this, I'm thinking of Vargas, little boy, Lucas. Here he is, deaf, never heard anything in his life, but they, through science, God has given them wisdom, and now that little boy can talk, and he has developed so quickly. He used to give me hugs all the time, but now that he's talking, I went to him, I said, Lucas, do I get a hug? He said, maybe. But what happened was this. He is born deaf. Now, was it Vargas that had sinned? Was it the mother, the father? Was it something he had done? God knows. But now that he is hearing, he can thank God, and he sins no more, or he has seen God working in him. Think of the joy it brought to the hearts of his father and mother when their deaf son was able to hear. And now, think of the father and mother of this child that had been born blind, and they learn, because they might think, what have we done that caused this affliction to fall upon our son? But now they learn that they had done nothing wrong. They are just ordinary sinners. The son had done nothing wrong. He's just an ordinary sinner. But God had his plan to work works in that man. So it may be that some of us, and I can say this because I have not been born blind or deaf or with any such affliction, but if I did have such an affliction and I knew that there was no sin in my life or the life of my parents, but that God wanted to manifest his works in me through my being blind, then I believe that I could accept it. But if I did not know the reason, I would be pressured all through life to wonder, what did I do wrong? Why am I in this condition? But I'm thinking of one who was born blind. And because he was born blind, hundreds and hundreds of blind people all over the world are now sent cassettes, and they are recorded from Christian articles to strengthen them, build them up in the things of God. And unless he had been born blind, they would have had nobody who cared for them in their blindness, and they would not have received this ministry. But now he sends them all over the world. Let me ask you this. If I said to him, Tim, the fact that hundreds and hundreds of blind people are receiving the word of God and being blessed in their souls, will you accept your being born that God might work this work through you? And I do not know his answer, but at least that is a consolation that I can see in his case. Perhaps why he was born blind. Now, let me give you another. This is a consolation. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were three that Jesus loved. And when Lazarus was sick unto death, the sisters sent him a letter and said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And the Savior gave this diagnosis. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Did you hear that diagnosis? He knew in John 5, when the man's sickness was because of sin. He knows when any sickness or affliction in your life is because of sin, and why you're getting worse and not better. It may be sin, it may not be sin, but Jesus knows. And then at the same time, he knows when that doesn't enter into it at all, but it's that God wants to work his works in you. And it makes you bow before God, omnipotent, the sovereign God. Because just how is it that you, being a loving creator, could choose me to be born in this condition? There are some things that you have to deal with and some things that I have to deal with. And this was the case of those that we considered tonight. But in the case of Lazarus, it was not sickness for 38 years and then healing, but it was sickness that was going to result in death, but not permanent death. And what was so hard is that it came upon him not because of any of his sin, not because he was alienated from God, and because of that departure from God, suddenly the sickness came upon him. But Jesus was loving him, and there was nothing between him and his Savior and the fellowship that had broken it. But it was simply the will of God that he should be sick unto death for 4 days, and then he should be raised from the dead. And that involved tears in the eyes of Mary and of Martha, and misunderstanding. And also, how could Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And the Lord Jesus was prepared to let them go through all of that suffering, but he had told them. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Such strange ways for the Father and the Son to be glorified. Sickness that seems that the people he loves are abandoned, and then they die, and he waits 4 days before he comes, and they send an urgent appeal. He whom thou lovest is sick. And he stays away. And so he's trying to tell us this. I want you to trust me in what I do and what I refrain from doing. Because I am the great physician. And I know whether to raise you up or whether to leave you in the condition in which I found you. I'm thinking also of Hezekiah, one of the best kings in the nation of Israel, the southern kingdom. And then he prayed to God. He said, O God, I'm too young to die. I've lived a holy life before you. O God, do not do this to me. And so God said, I'll give you 15 more years. And then, if you know who his son was, Hezekiah begat the worst king that ever sat upon the throne of the nation of Israel, Manasseh. Nobody sinned the way he did. And he was born after God gave additional years to Hezekiah. And so just remember this. If you have children and they die before they get into any gross sin, then it may be that this is a mercy of God. And if you who want to live, but God takes your life away, it may be that you might not bring a Manasseh into the world, that there might not be let loose on the world this child that came from your body. And so keep that in consideration, because this is Jesus who is doing the diagnosing. You see now how I told you that you can learn from the Word of God? No conjecture in anything that I've told you. All of these things are diagnoses of the great physician. And he has never made an incorrect diagnosis, and he has never failed to do just what he wanted to do, to get to the patient before he died or to get to the patient after he had died. All of it is in a plan. And I remember having these words brought to my attention, because we sing that beautiful song, with mercy and with judgment, my web of time he wove, and I, the dews of sorrow, were lustered with his love. Now, that is faith, and you must understand it. When you come to incompetent physicians, that is one thing. And we look at them and we see the mistakes that they have made. And we say, incompetency, and this is what you have brought into my life because of your lack of skill. But if there is no sin in your life and you're living for God, then I promise you that your great physician has made no incorrect diagnosis. And he has not stayed away too long. He knows how long to stay away, and he knows when to come. But there are incompetent physicians. I told you that there are physicians other than Christ, and one thing he said was this, that men should go to physicians. He said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. Do you hear what he told you? Now, primarily it was to himself, but he said, if you are sick, go to a physician. Why? Because I have tried and I have never found any man today who has performed a miracle like unto the miracles that our Savior tells his disciples to perform. And if that is so, then I'm not going to Jesus praying for a miracle and leave it there. But if there is a beloved physician like Luke, I'm going to him and seek his help and his advice. Do you understand? But what happens is that not all physicians are beloved physicians like Luke. But as I read to you in Mark chapter 5, there are many physicians that will have you to come to them, and they will take all the money that you have, and you are not getting better, but you are getting worse. And this has been going on for 12 years. And the woman is now destitute, and her faith is all gone in other physicians. But this is the marvel, that I would think that having tried all earth's physicians, that I would wonder if Jesus was any better as a physician. But you had complete faith in the Lord Jesus, because he said, your faith has made you whole. She said, if I touch but the hem of his garment, if I can just touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And she had that confidence. And that is what you and I are to gain from this woman's example. Here are some who have no faith in Christ, that God can do anything for us. It says this, some will not be comforted, and some will not go to the Lord Jesus. I was going to tell you about Asa. Asa, who went to the physicians, and he trusted in the physicians, only in the physicians, and he never went to the Lord. What God expects is for you to go to the Lord and work with the physicians as well. And so the Savior has said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And so indeed go to a physician. But then pray to God to give wisdom to that physician. And may that physician be a beloved physician like Luke. Because there's nothing I would like better than to have friends like doctors. Who of us doesn't like free advice from a doctor that's your friend, do you see? And so that has happened. And at times, there have been medical men in my life, and I usually make people laugh when I say this. Yes, I was going to my psychiatrist in Ohio, and they say, your psychiatrist? Yes, he's one that went to the assembly there, and there was something wrong with people in Durham, and I was asking him, what was wrong with you? But I had contact with all of these competent physicians. I remember in Ohio, there was one who was an open heart specialist. And oh, I was able to go to him and he x-rayed me, but that was so many years ago, do you see? And now those physicians are gone. But just think that if you had, because as we get older, it seems like we need physicians more and more, a competent physician, one that you love, one that loved your Savior along with you, and you know he was skillful and he would give you the very best advice that was possible. And that is a physician like Luke, the physician. And I've known some along the way, I've told you, but so many of them, they have died, some of them young and some of them old, but they were physicians, and I've been blessed of those physicians. I thank God for this. I did not know, but I preached to one in another city, and this man who had heard me preach, when I needed my eyes operated on for cataracts, and he learned of it, he said, you come down and I will operate on your eyes. Now, isn't that lovely? Here is a man who operated on my eyes for nothing. But this is what was wrong. They charged me $1,000 to use the operating room. But what I'm saying is to know that here is a man that is a physician and he's beloved and he was willing to care for the people of God. And I rejoice in that. And so there are beloved physicians, but let me warn you now that you may be one like unto the friends of Job, and Job said, you are physicians of no value. And they were physicians that were trying to heal the sorrows of Job's soul, as well as to have him healed in his body. They did not have this miraculous ability to heal him, but they had a philosophy that they were going to give Job. And they said, now, Job, this is the way we diagnose your case. And even though their diagnosis was a little different each time, they said, you have sinned. If you had not sinned, you would not be in this condition. And since your condition is so severe, you have sinned greatly. And Job knew that he had not sinned. In fact, it was not his sin, but it was his integrity, his righteousness. God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job that there is none like him in all the earth? And so Satan said, yes, I've considered him, and he is a hypocrite. He's only loving you and following you because of what you do for him. And then now we know why Job was suffering. But think of these men that came to him and were telling him, like that woman told that other woman. Finally, they said this, you are vile. You are the grossest kind of sinner. That's the reason that you're in this condition. And finally, God had to come upon the scene. And he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel with words? And he put them all to shame. And he said, you have misjudged my servant Job. And now this one that you said was so evil, he has to pray for you that I bring not my judgment upon you. And what happens is this, that you and I go and we see people and we tell them, what is the cause of all their ills? And you say it's sin. But it may not be their sin at all. It may be that they're walking close with God, and Satan is challenging God to see just why you love God and you follow God. And so it may be that I am a physician, but I'm going to be a competent physician, because tell me any diagnosis I've given tonight that wasn't out of the Word of God. Then you can't say that I am a miserable comforter or a physician of no value, because I've learned from the Lord Jesus how to diagnose. And it must be some special gift of God if I say, in your case, it is this. If I happen to be a Nathan, I could know. And I could say, as concerning David, thou art the man. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. But if not, I bring to your attention many things. And I say, could it be sin in your life? And if you say, no, there is no sin in my life, then the responsibility is yours. And I tell you other things that may be comforting to your souls. And so remember this, that there is the great physician, and there are other physicians, some good and some bad. May you fall into the hands of Luke, the beloved physician, and not into one of the physicians like this woman had, who did no good for her, but she grew worse, and she had spent all her living. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that with all the mysteries of life, you've told us so many things to help us understand, and you've told us that you'll not give us full understanding until that day when we see your Son face to face, but we can live by faith until then, and we can trust your Son. We remember what he said to Martha when Martha was upset because the tomb was going to be opened. He said, said I not unto you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So, Father, let us be those who trust you. bring beloved physicians into our lives, competent physicians into our lives, and Christian friends who are able to give counsel from the Scriptures and not of their own inventions. O God, deliver us from the hands of incompetent physicians, and let thy Son, the great physician, be the healer of our souls, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.